This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts, get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear's a huff a puff. Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive in it, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Yes, once again, inside your grill, it's a wolf and owl. It's not time to chill. It's time to
just live your life and go crazy and let your ears do the walking and your feet just chill.
Yeah, absolutely. But you might be walking and listen to this, in which case, like,
take a seat because you're about to get blown away.
Yeah, but you don't have to sit down. Like, if you're doing this,
are you vaping?
No,
wait, are you vaping at 7:41?
Oh, yeah, I'm gonna put that away.
What flavor is it?
It's coconut melon. I'm in a bad way today. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Oh, hit me up. What, hangover?
No, not hangover. No, and Party Rum is very much being in his shell. I just couldn't, mate. Last night, I did League of Their Own last night.
Yeah.
Got back, just so hot. I couldn't sleep, man.
Oh, man.
I could not sleep.
The worst, I'd say one of the hardest things of having a tiny baby, she's 7 months now, but is the heat. They just can't compute the heat, can they? Don't know what, like, she just feels so flustered. I fucking hate the heat for sleeping.
Yeah. Do you know what is your sleeping position? Because I like to put the duvet between my legs and have one leg in, one leg out.
Oh my god, that is literally what I do.
Really?
On your side, yeah. Facing out or into the bed?
I'm nervous now that I'm going to say the wrong thing, but whatever you do, I do whatever you do.
I face out. For Catherine, the best thing in the morning is to look at the back of my head rather than seeing me sort of like snoring and breathing.
Do you know one of the things that I discovered, and I don't know if everyone discovers this in their relationships, is that when Lisa and I first got together, we'd like hug in bed, or it'd be like an arm round, and then you'd say things to each other like, oh, I could be like this forever, or isn't it a shame that we've got to get up and start the day, this is so nice. And then eventually, a little bit into the relationship, Lisa said, I actually get quite hot in the night, and I don't really enjoy sort of being touched too much. And now I think if my skin touches Lisa's skin in bed, now I have to apologise. That's where we're
basically
at now.
Your bed is like being on the tube with like a load of people you don't know.
100%. If my knee touches hers, I have to apologise for manspreading.
Catherine,
it's crazy. It's crazy. And then I think to myself, so all of that about wanting to have your arms around each other, that was all bullshit, right? That's just like a thing that you fake while you're still trying to...
You got groomed, bro.
I basically did. I did get groomed, man.
We have a thing at the moment where, because we're having a little week away. At home, we've got, you know, a bed, like a divan bed, I think it's called. So you've got the two mattresses that are pushed together.
Yeah.
And it's like makes a bigger bed. But also, if I move during the bed, move during the night, it means that she doesn't feel me sort of like the ripples of my movement throughout the night.
Is it waterbed?
No. But even on the hardest of matches, when you're 6'7" and weigh 21 stone, if you move, people. To be fair, other people in the house know I've moved. But
do you sometimes move and then she sort of rolls into you, just with her?
And I'm just there with open arms. Just, oh God!
Come to daddy.
She actually last night she said, "Actually, I can tell that you're lighter in the way that you're moving around." I have to when you wake up, all you want to do is fall back into bed after taking a piss at night.
Yeah,
you know, you know, with all of your the most dramatic, you're sort of I don't know, someone who's just been dumped on in Neighbours, and you just run to your bed after talking to Mrs. Mangle and just throw yourself into it.
Put on a sad song and then sob into your pillow.
Yeah. But now I try and do it really lightly. I literally put my knee and then just slowly sort of get into bed, just not to wake her.
I've got to tell you, man, I'm having an absolute purple patch for, what a boring thing to say, but I'm having an absolute purple patch for not needing to piss in the night.
What?
I don't know what's happened. I don't know if my fucking bladder's got younger or something. I don't know what's going on, man, but I haven't, mate, for a long time, I've been getting up, I would say minimum once.
Yeah.
Possibly twice to take a piss in the night. Just not happening to me anymore. I don't know what, I'd love to know what I've done.
Are you drinking less water before
bedtime? I'm drinking a lot of water. A lot. A lot.
How much is it a lot? I'm 4 litres a day?
No, you've absolutely fucked it there. No, I'm not drinking 4 litres a day. Between 2 and 3 litres.
Yeah, that's good, 2 and 3, because you know what you don't want to drown your intestines.
You've got to be really careful. Do your intestines have lungs?
You've got to be really careful not to drown whatever parts of your body the water. You just don't want to drink too much water, basically.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it could be expressed like that, couldn't it?
It doesn't sound as dramatic, does it?
No, but it does sound correct.
Be careful not to drink too much water, because excess water can make you, you know.
Yeah, whereas if you go drown your intestines, you sound like an absolute fucking legend. Now, I get you. I did think, who's this fucking edgelord?
Do you like going to the beach? Are you a beach guy?
I used to not be, because I just... Lisa's basically made me a beach guy. And that sounds like she's changing me gradually day by day until I become the husband that she needs me to be. But I didn't really used to give a shit about laying out in the sun and stuff like that, because I didn't want to work on my tan particularly, and I found it sort of boring. But yeah, I love it now. I love it.
No. There's two different things here. Laying out in the sun by a pool or in your garden, I'm all about. Right, I love that shit. Yeah. A beach, right? Number one, I've always found a beach a pain in the ass, because you've got to fucking lug a load of shit across fucking terrain that isn't fit for walking on, right? Yeah. You basically got to decamp there, right?
Yeah. Also, now you've got Grace, you've got a situation where you've got to push a pushchair across the beach.
Push a pushchair across sand. There's nothing worse than, being a giant man trying to push a tiny... And, Grace is looking at me as if to say, come on, mate, this is embarrassing now. You're out of breath, you're sweating, and you're trying to push me across very soft sand.
Yeah.
So then you end up holding the baby under one arm and the fucking pram under another, and walking it's not a good look, bro.
It's a bad look, because actually the truth is, people that aren't you and me, they spend their year, well, not their year, that might be an exaggeration, but they spend a lot of time getting themselves beach ready, right? Body ready or whatever, right? Which I'm assuming you've never done. I've never done it.
No.
And so what happens is, it's a very embarrassing situation, the beach scenario, because what you have is a lot of people, particularly when you're on holiday, you have a lot of people that have spent time making sure they look good in that scenario, right? You haven't done that, and then you've got to push a pushchair. It's so embarrassing. I just feel embarrassed to be me. Do you know what I mean?
You talk about beach ready, right? And being embarrassed, right? So I get everything down, then you have to unpack the pram and unpack everything, which is essentially now setting up a base camp, right?
Yeah.
You know, and then sand, I think sand's a mug. I've got no time for sand.
Sand's mugging you off rather than being the mug.
Yeah.
It makes a mug of anything.
I like hard sand, soft sand, I've got no time for. It just gets everywhere. I'm looking at the fact I have a daughter now, and I'm like, that's going to be literally caked in everything. She's grabbing sand, it's all in under her fingernails. I'm like, that's an hour gone of my evening now, trying to get sand.
Trying to rinse yourself off without getting sand on yourself between that and getting back to your car or wherever.
I'll tell you something.
It's like the fucking fox, the chicken, and the grate. I can't figure out how the hell to do it.
Well, you know what? Foreign beaches, for the moment, a lot of them, in tourist hotspots, they'll have a load of showers. English ones, we don't. Like English, yeah. Like you go to a Portuguese beach, they've always got a little walkway down to the.
Yeah.
So like that takes half the battle. So you literally, it's like we haven't even thought that anyone's ever going to go to these. It's like the Normandy landings, the Romans invaded, and they're like, oh, no one's going to use these now.
I know. Although I would say, like, as you know, I go to Portugal a lot. Well, once a year, and they've got the little foot things, the taps and whatever I do find myself quite regularly getting into a little bit of a battle of wills with other people because they're always being used, aren't they? Particularly at the end of the day, everybody's actually hammering it.
Oh yeah,
there is no discernible cue system. So what happens is I have a nice day at the beach with the kids, and then I'm trying to get them rinsed off. My children couldn't give a shiny shit about where they get sand or whatever. Like I mean, no. Couldn't care less.
Oh, you're frivolous with sand at that age.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's playing with it. You're actually inserting it into your crack at that age.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, mate.
So I'm trying to rinse them off, but then you just get people that sort of aggressive showerers or aggressive, you know, they believe that it's their right to be next. Damn the queue system. And I'm just not
queuing on holiday is, yeah, I just don't think people, I think people take it up, like, holiday from queuing when they're on holiday. I don't think people care about, I think etiquette goes. I think it's like, weird is everyone's just like, I think once you get on a holiday, it's like, right, we need to be on the beach as soon as we possibly can, and then we need to be off the beach as soon as we possibly can. Well, like, there's got, you know, literally we need to be getting the car, the barbecue needs to be on. Any sort of like, oh, actually, that guy seems like he's been waiting for four hours to get to the fucking water to clean his feet. That just goes. People just barging, buddy.
I don't think there's many times that you see the worst side of humanity than at a busy water park on holiday. I mean, like getting in, getting to the lockers, getting to the slides. I mean, just everybody is just so desperate to. Do I sound like an old man? What is going on?
We're both getting old. It's the sad thing.
Oh, God.
But also, going to a busy water park, you might as well just pay to go and stand in a really badly worked out queue. That is one of the things that I love about post offices, queuing systems.
Absolutely did not expect you to say that.
But I'd say Argos queue and post offices. Queuing systems are phenomenal.
Mm.
And I respect anywhere that's got a good queuing system.
I've got to say, listen, while we're getting onto this, the amount of wasted floor space in an Argos, I really do find quite criminal. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, I mean, what is going on with us, Tom? What is happening to us today? I just everything.
We sort of need party. And Tom back. We need.
I know. I say us. I think it's very much me. That's the situation. Have you been to the... Oh, push chairs are a nightmare. What about... But a lot of the beaches have got water stuff. But I'll tell you what's a nightmare. Like that. Nobody respects the queuing system. I'll tell you what the worst thing is. I'll tell you what the least fun place in the world is. Water parks. Water parks are terrible. That's where you see the worst... What the fuck? Argos. Oh, the wasted... Jesus Christ, Ramesh. Fucking hell.
Yeah, but I agree with the Argos thing. Oh, you know, Argos got so close to being the internet and just fucked it up, didn't it?
Yeah. I used to work at Argos.
Did you? I don't thought.
Yeah. Maybe like 2 years. It was while I was doing. Wow. I, as well as at school, but I used to work on the complaints bit. So I didn't. I basically spent all day every day dealing with people that are pissed off about something they bought from Argos. You know that separate little queue on the customer services desk. It's like I remember, like you get people turn up without any proof of purchase or anything, and they just what they want to do is, and a lot of people do this. I've done this in the past, where you just think if you are aggressive enough and assertive enough, they just have to do.
I do think that sometimes that, yeah, I've seen
it does work. Mate, it does work. I mean, it didn't work at Argos because you had to have it. Oh, God.
Yeah, Argos are pretty stringent, but mate, I had a whole thing recently where I bought a nice pair of shorts the other week and I had a fucking security tag in it. I can't remember if I talked about that on here, but I basically put I bought a pair of shorts. Me and Catherine were going out for a lunch date, meeting some friends. I'm like really excited to wear these shorts. I love my clothes. I put them on. I feel good. I feel good. I look at, and Catherine went, oh, you know, there's a massive security tag on that them. I look at the back and I'm like, this is a disaster. I can't go.
What are we talking about? The beige flying saucer? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. But it's right around where my butt is, right? Mm. I'd say, you know, if I'm sitting down, it's going to be a hindrance to my butthole, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that comes from a man who at times inserts a pebble up his butt just to make it cool, right? There is a situation now where I'm like, can I wear a longer top, like a long line T-shirt that I can wear with this? And
to cover the tag.
Yeah. But then I'm like, it's just going to be uncomfortable. So now I'm sort of, I email the shopping question and I'm like, look, you know, this has happened. what am I supposed to do? To this day, I've never had a response, and this was months ago. Wow. Shout out to everyone who got in touch. I tried the fork trick, didn't work. I brought some really, really strong magnets, didn't work. And I'm like now I'm like, what do I do? Just throw these shorts out? So I decided to go to my local town.
Your local town?
Yeah. You prick.
Yeah, go on anyway. So it's your local town.
To get rid of it, right? I went to like 9 shops before someone, and they all treat me like I'd had like 10 cans of special brew at like 10 a.m. in the morning, and fucking like just was lurking about and just literally had stolen these.
Yeah.
One woman said to me, "If you can get some documentation that proved, like a bank statement that you proved that you've brought these shorts, I'll take the tag off." I was like, That's so much more work than I do on a day-to-day basis of having to go through all of my bank statements to then
Imagine going through your bank statements, and the reward for that hour's time spent is being able to wear a pair of shorts that you paid for.
I still have to send bank statements to my accountant to do my taxes, and he has to remind me probably nearly every day to do so.
Yeah,
it's like, in the end, and I will shout out, actually, New Look. Shout out to New Look. Went in there, the woman was an absolute blinder. No questions asked. Gave me a wink and a nod. Took him off.
She gave you a wink and a nod. So that suggests that she does think you stole them, but she didn't care. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, in a sense. But yeah. I don't want to get her in trouble. I had Grace with me at that point as well, because I did actually think, you know what? Having Grace, I think, might have been the turning point. Because even if she thought I was shoplifting, she probably felt sorry for me.
Because she would have been doing it for your kids. Yeah, he wants to sell some shorts. Yeah.
I don't know what the sell-on point of these shorts would have been. What kind of money I'd be looking at for that. But.
Do you find that having Grace has made you kind of more attractive as a person? Like, do people come up to you and chat to you and stuff?
Yeah, I'd say people often remark on what little, like, that she looks. Someone said to me yesterday she looks like a little baby doll. She is a little cracker.
Yeah.
And she's always smiling. She's always really happy. We went out for lunch yesterday. She was happy through the whole thing. She's a little cracker like that. Oh, you know, going back to the beach thing as well, do you know actually the worst thing of the beach thing, right? I went for a swim in the sea with my dad, Ron, right?
Mm.
My dad took his T-shirt off, and my dad's got a six-pack.
What?
My dad's in such good nick. Like, genuinely, I felt like, oh, I've got to take my T-shirt off next to my dad now, and he's got a six-pack.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely, he looked. He ran into the sea like David Hasselhoff and just took a leap in there.
Did you know that he had a six-pack?
No, I knew that he was in good nick, but I didn't realise he was busting that kind of vibe. He still does weights now, and he does, like, little tight shit. Like, genuinely, I was like, man, do I just keep my T-shirt on? But that's the worst look, isn't it? You can't go to sea with your T-shirt on. Because then you, basically, if you go, the way I see it, you go to sea with your T-shirt on and you've got to walk back to your house half naked.
Well, it's not just that that's the problem. Is that the other thing that I find is you're okay going into the sea with a T-shirt on while you haven't got into the water yet, right?
Yeah.
But then what happens is you come out of the water and you've got a really clingy T-shirt on. Do you know what I mean? It's just stuck to your body. You basically look like a fucking seal. Do you know what I mean?
That's the best thing is, like, I couldn't wait to get into the sea, like, take my top off and then just dive under the water. So then I look quite brave. It looks like I don't give a shit about how cold the water is. But then this is a mad thing. I don't know if you've ever had this me and you've talked about this before. Do you ever worry, like, when you dive in the cold water about having a heart attack?
All the time. All the time.
I was petrified yesterday that, like, Grace's first memory of the beach would have been me leaping into the water, really, like, to sort of, like, hide my muffin top from the fucking world and then have a massive cardiac arrest and, like, people dragging me out of the sea, me sort of, like, spluttering and someone sort of saving my life sort of at the shoreline. Yeah, that really crossed my mind yesterday.
Well, the other the thing that I've got a problem about, which I'm sort of loath to say because I am opening myself up to an absolute shooing here, is it's not only the sort of worry about having a heart attack. I cannot not scream when I go into ice cold water.
What? I think I'd think there's more dignity in having a heart attack than screaming. I do think it would be
better to have a heart attack and die than do what I do, which is basically Theo, I'll give a good shout out to Theo here. He has changed my life. Well, he has changed my life. But in this specific thing, he has changed it with regards to my attitude towards going into really cold water. Because I used to think it was horrific. And now I think it's a game changer. I think it's wicked, right? Like going into really ice cold. But I cannot, for whatever reason, and if I do manage to not do this, it takes every sort of fibre of my being to not go, as I go into...
Well, you do too, or is it...
I did that to be decent for the podcast. I do more than that. Every time a wave hits a new bit of untouched skin, you'll get another sort of squeal from me.
Oh my God, I just so want to see you.
Can you imagine?
Do you do that little prance, like a skip thing as it hits you as well?
Yeah. Look, all of the worst things that you imagine that I do those things. And can you imagine being a 12-year-old boy and just thinking, I just want to go in the water with my dad, have a bit of quality time with him. This is our annual holiday. And then watching your father squeal as he hits the sea in a way that you're not even doing as a child.
You know the worst thing of it as well is because you'd be trying to make it up to Thea like that it's not too bad. So you'd be smiling as you do it. So you look a bit like a sort of like a Tory MP in a fetish club. Like you've got although it's a little bit painful and it's a little bit of a kick in the dick. You're actually quite enjoying it still. It's like, it's fine, Theo.
It's painful, but in a good way. Oh God.
Yes. Massive nipple erection.
Yeah, and then I do that embarrassing thing of going, it's actually really nice. It's nice. And then he's like, Dad, you can't start enjoying it now because you were so humiliating as you went into the water. Awful.
I can get a vision of you, right? Sort of like on your hands and knees. Sort of going, it's fine once you're actually under. Licking your lips like you've eaten a bit of vegan burrito. Come on, Theo, it's fine. Yeah.
there's a lot of things, there's a lot of issues I've got going into the sea. So one is the squealing and the sort of screaming. The other thing is I'm incredibly squeamish about anything that I don't know what it is touching my feet and legs.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I, for example, I don't even really like the sort of mushy kind of porridgey seaweed that you find.
Seaweed can do one.
Sort of walking through it.
I like seaweed in a restaurant, but I don't like it on the beach.
Yeah, but that's not seaweed, is it?
Isn't it?
Are you talking about the crispy seaweed? I think you might have had this conversation. That's not seaweed.
No. What is it?
It's just shredded cabbage.
What?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Why are they calling it seaweed then? What masquerade?
I guess at some point in the origins of that dish, it was seaweed. And I guess somewhere in some places you get it.
That's like, you can't call it seaweed if it's not seaweed.
You're making me doubt myself. Let me just Google this while you, I think it's deep fried cabbage. Hold on. You're talking about in the Chinese restaurant, right?
Yeah.
And they just add loads of sugar to it.
Yeah.
Hold on. Here we go. The dish often served in Western Chinese restaurants is crispy seaweed. It's not seaweed, but cabbage that has been dried and then fried.
Do you know what? I don't think I've been this angry in a long time. I feel my shoulders tighten. That's, what a masquerade. That's, like, genuinely, like, the amount of time, this seaweed's delicious. Just say it's cabbage. Do you know what? I don't know who's got together and done this, but that feels like you've mugged so many people off. And it actually makes seaweed even more fucking pointless than it's ever been. The only thing that I used to sort of look at seaweed when it touched my leg or it'd get fucking stuck on something that I liked, like my swimming trunks or fucking, is I'd look at it and go, oh, fucking seaweed. But then look at it and go, actually, you know what? It tastes delicious with some sugar.
I'd love you. I'd love a bit. I'm annoyed of you now, but I'd love a bit of you deep fried and a bit of sugar added. But the thing I would say in response to that is crispy seaweed that you get in the Chinese restaurants, there's never any point that I think I wish this tasted more aquatic. I mean, all you're after is crunch and sweet, isn't it?
Yeah, but I feel like that. But just say it's dried cabbage with a touch of sugar.
Yeah, but okay, that sounds shit.
But it's cabbage, honest. I thought as well there was a whole thing now that we'd all got together and said, oh, you can't lie on menus anymore.
Yeah, but the dish is called crispy seaweed. I think that's how you get away with it.
Yeah, but it's not seaweed. That's like you turning up and saying, oh, do you want a muffin? And you going, oh, yeah, I'd love a chocolate muffin, thanks, Tom. And me bringing you a fucking chicken breast. And you going, well, this isn't a muffin. I'd say, well, that's what we're calling it here.
Yes, I take your point. But, you know, If you see the little sweets, the fried egg sweets, they're called fried eggs. You're not complaining about those, are you?
Yeah, but they look like fried eggs. And I know that. Yeah, I don't look at, looks like, no, I don't seaweed, look, I don't eat one of those. And
it looks
go, oh,
so
you know,
much like seaweed that up until about 5 minutes ago, you thought it was. It's only because I told you that you think it's cabbage.
Yeah, but wrong. Like, I don't eat one of those little fried egg sweets and go, oh, that's delicious. What a nice fried egg. And you go, oh, you know, that's a sweet. And I go, oh, what? I know it's a sweet because it comes in a sweet jar. Like, genuinely, the seaweed, they've made it look like seaweed. They've made it.
Yeah.
Like, and also, I swear to God, it's got sometimes quite a sea sort of smell to it.
Mm.
I can't even tell Catherine. She's going to be absolutely mortified about this.
I don't think she's going to be as angry as you think she's going to be.
I think there's going to be a lot of anger towards this.
I think she might say, I think you might go in and go,
I will go to my Chinese, because I go to, shout out to my favourite Chinese restaurant, like, walk this way. I go all the time. I go to Wong Kee's. I always have seaweed because I actually find it a nice garnish to sort of sprinkle on any dish that you have at Chinese takeaway, right?
Right.
When I go and they say about seaweed, I say, don't even now. Just keep that to yourself. I'll just sprinkle some shit.
First of all, it's your favourite Chinese restaurant, okay?
Yeah.
We can get into the semantics of the fact that your favourite Chinese restaurant is called, what's it called?
Walk this way.
Okay.
Walk this way.
Yeah, no, I get it. Walk this way, right? So, you know, what that says about your taste in Chinese restaurants, we'll leave to one side. You cannot hold Walk This Way responsible for the entire Chinese restaurant seaweed policy.
Yeah, but
it's not fair.
Do we not have to do something about this? It feels like...
Up until 5 minutes ago, you loved crispy seaweed.
Yeah, right? I know. Until I found out it was just cabbage. Cabbage should be ashamed of itself.
Cabbage is not gone. Oh, mate, can you do me a favour? Can you call me seaweed? It's not cabbage's fault, is
right,
it?
Right, cabbage, for number one, it sneaks its way into crunchy salads, right? And you've got to pick your way, you know. Cabbage is fine at Christmas. Like, you had a little bit of, like, red wine vinegar or whatever.
Oh, that pickled cabbage. You're talking about pickled cabbage?
Yeah, pickled cabbage. Lovely.
Yeah, that's actually seaweed. I actually feel bad that I've told you.
Someone had to. I was going to find out at some point. This is probably the best way. You're better than this than finding out halfway through a lovely Chinese takeaway and someone's like, oh, it's just not seaweed.
So tell me this. You've had a few minutes to process it. What is going to be your attitude going forward to crispy seaweed? You're not going to have it anymore?
Probably not, no. I don't like liars.
You're not going to have something that you love that you, by the way, that I know for a fact from the way you've described it that you sprinkle on all your Chinese food like
salt
and
pepper.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. So what, you're not going to have it on principle?
I just don't think I can have it around me for a while. I'm going to have to let this, I'll probably have two or three Chinese takeaways in the next couple of weeks and see how it is without. And I guess I'll just then have to look at it and just go, look, you know, I'd have to make my peace with it. But if the person says, do you want seaweed? I'm going to say, look, I know what's going on here, mate. I'm not one of these punks who come in and doesn't have any idea what the score is. I know what this is.
No, that's where you made the mistake. Almost everybody knows that it's cabbage, but they won't be kicking off about it because...
I'd like to get a vote, actually, from Wolf and Our listeners at how many people know that this isn't seaweed.
Okay, fine. Get in touch, wolfourpod@gmail.com. Let us know if you knew... That crispy seaweed.
Actually, while we're at
well,
it,
actually, two things I'd like to know. One, did you know that crispy seaweed was not seaweed? And two, do you care that crispy seaweed's not seaweed? I'd love to know those.
And while we're at it, actually, can I just say as well, what is going on with restaurants and napkins?
What do you mean?
Well, it's like now you go a lot of these coffee places, these cool coffee places, they don't give you napkins anymore in your bag.
Okay. First of all, these cool coffee places like Pret. What are you talking about? is Pret somewhere you take someone to impress them? That's normally where we have most of our business meetings, Shiny Bun. I tell you what, I've got a little suggestion for you. A lot of people have meetings in Soho House. Have you heard of Pret a Manger?
Right.
There is a legitimate reason for that, Tom.
What?
It's environmental.
Yeah, but
they want you to go and get the napkin if you need it.
I find that unhygienic for a start, right? In McDonald's,
well, if you want a napkin, you can go get one.
Yeah, but then everyone's touching the napkins, and then you wipe your mouth with it.
What? Nobody's touching the napkins. They stick them in the thing. They've got the little spring loaded.
No. You need to go. You need to get out there, mate. You probably have too many people buying your coffee and bringing it to you, right?
Wow. Wow, that's an incredible pot shot from your fucking glass house. But go on. I think on set with you, I think you've had I've heard the words come from your mouth. It's possible to get a bit of a coffee more than I have dialogue.
Right. They don't, look, McDonald's, shout out McDonald's, Burger King, I think as well. They have those ones that you
The spring-loaded.
Yeah. Pret have a box and they're just all put in a box on the top. Pret don't
That's not that much worse. I mean, I don't know if it's any worse than having the spring-loaded one.
Because people are ruffling through them. You can't pick up just one napkin carefully.
Yeah, sure, but you don't ruffle through it and select your favourite. You just take a couple from the top, don't you?
Yeah, but sometimes I've seen people take like their fingers stroke through, like they're going through like fucking
sandwiches. Like a deck of cards? Like yeah. Shuffling them. What are you on about?
I've seen that happen, mate. Definitely, without a doubt.
Okay. Well, I actually agree with that policy.
Really?
Well, I just think like, you know, if they just throw a couple of not everybody wants napkins.
What if you're in a rush? And then you're like, quick, yeah, I need my coffee, I need to get to, and then you get into your car and then you're just, you're heading off and then you're, oh, shit, no, that's what happened to me quite a lot, is there's no napkin, right?
Okay.
If everyone like got
the worst
one
thing
napkin,
that's ever happened to me.
Yeah, but also, how many times have you been somewhere and you've gone, oh my God, I've got a bogey up my nose,
yeah,
I need a napkin, you go in your glove box and you've got all your spare napkins to put in your glove box. Yeah. So then
I don't really like seeing somebody remove a bogey with a Pret a Manger napkin, to be honest with you. I think get something that's made for the purpose, to be honest with you.
But also,
because then I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, that's for food. Do you know what I mean? I don't like it.
Are you a mouth wiper?
Psychologically.
Are you a mouth wiper?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love what I've in my mouth. So then I end up ruining a jumper or getting it a gank all over the back of my head.
Do not wipe it on your jumper.
I've had to sometimes if they haven't put a napkin in there. What else am I supposed to do?
Well, I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know how much debris we're talking about around your chops.
No, like you're sometimes if you've had like a particularly sort of frothy coffee and maybe like a sort of like some sort of chocolate twist or something, you'll have a little bit and then you'll have to turn the sleeve inside out. Give it a little wipe here, a little wipe there, and then turn it back normal.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision. Every time. Smart food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Have you ever spotted McDonald's hot, crispy fries right as they're being scooped into the carton? And time just stands still. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Want to be more active this summer? Sierra helps you save on everything from swimsuits to stand-up paddle boards, tennis rackets to fishing tackle. And if that doesn't float your boat, we also have pool floats. Sierra, let's get moving. To your local store, like now. Go!
Did this ever happen to you, right? So sometimes when you're talking to people, I suddenly become immediately paranoid that either my breath stinks or I've got the little crackhead white corner mouth thing going on.
Yeah.
I'm not aware of that. Like I don't know what happens. Every now and again I'll be in the middle of a conversation, suddenly it occurs to me, like suddenly I feel a bit dry mouthed and I think, oh my God, am I talking to this person and I look disgusting and they're trying to hide it. And then I sort of like I might have done this when I'm talking to you in the past. I just start covering my mouth with my hand. Like I try and make it look natural.
Yeah.
But like, or I start looking away or I can't make eye contact because I'm just concerned that I've got something on my face or that my breath stinks or whatever. It just every now and again it hits me. It's absolutely crippling. I can't predict when
mate,
it's gonna hit me.
It's the worst. Especially in a quite a sort of like busy social situation. If you're at like one of the sort of event things that we've had to go to in the past, and then if that gets into your head that your breath smells, that and also I know by the way, because I'm lucky enough to have a wife who'll tell me if there's certain things I'll eat And then Catherine was like, have you had so-and-so? And I'll go, yeah, yeah. And she was like, yeah, I can, your breath stinks. And it would, that, then I know that I'll cancel meetings the next day because I know that like the fucking ramifications of it can last for 48 hours, right? Even if I brush my teeth.
You could lose a commission.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But also, even if you could brush your teeth like 1,000 times and still the fucking, that, because it doesn't even come from your teeth. It comes from your gut, right?
Bad breath, yeah. Or your gums if you've got bad gum health.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That, I worry about bogeys up my nose. I had a bogey up my nose the other day and you had to tell me, which actually I will shout you out for that because that was a very sweet thing.
Yeah, well, you can't let someone roll around on that. Especially but do you know what?
Especially when your friend's a giant and everyone's looking up their nose.
Yeah. Like, for me, and we were filming as well. I'd hate for you to watch that back. I know that you watch everything you do back, whereas I would never see it, but I'd hate for you to watch that back and be devastated that you had like a bad
Also, there was a whole crew there, a load of people that didn't tell me.
Well, I, the truth is, in those situations, they're sort of thinking, we might have to reshoot some stuff if this guy becomes aware, he might ask to redo all of this. Do you know, the last time I went and got my teeth cleaned at the hygienist, she told me that when she's on a plane, because it's an enclosed space, sometimes she can smell when people have got gingivitis.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, she's like really attuned to it. So look, I guess it's, you know, her job is to sort of assess the hygiene situation.
Like a superpower.
Because she's become so highly tuned to it, she can tell when people have got gum disease on a plane or sometimes if it's an enclosed train or whatever. I mean, that is
incredible, isn't it? Right?
Yeah. But also something I wouldn't want to have a thing.
No, because I bet like more people in society have it than ever we know.
Yeah, absolutely right. Right, should we do an email? Should we do some emails?
Yeah, yeah, if I'm honest with you, I still can't fucking, that seaweed thing still.
I can't tell if you're doing this
really, I genuinely just can't get my head around it.
Mm.
Like, I just want to kind of get to meet the person who first decided to call it seaweed and go, what were you thinking?
Well, I think it...
How long did you think this lie was going to last?
I think it must have originally been seaweed.
As soon as it became cabbage, I should have changed it.
What do you want to call it? Crispy cabbage?
Yes. That's what it is.
That's actually not a bad name.
And I'd actually eat it then.
So you're not going to eat something you enjoy off what? Off principle?
Maybe. I don't know what to do at the moment. I just can't.
Okay.
Well, I didn't know that this was going to happen today.
Are you able to go onto the emails or do you want to work this out for a bit
longer? I'll get through it, mate. I was going to have a Chinese takeaway this week and now I'm like, do I say something that I know? When I order the seaweed, should I just go and ask some seaweed?
Tom,
which
Tom,
I know, by the way, is Tom, a seaweed.
Tom, you're working at a Chinese restaurant. It's a slog, okay? It's a difficult, high-pressure job. Running any kind of restaurant's hard. What you don't need is somebody phoning up to make an order and they decided to challenge you on the principle of crispy seaweed. Just fucking give these people a break.
I'd respect someone if I worked at a Chinese takeaway and someone said to me, oh, I know it's not seaweed, and I'd just go, cool. And they'll just turn around and go, blah, 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 from blah, blah, blah. Yeah, stick him some extra spring rolls in. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would go, if somebody went, if I answered the phone and said, hello, walk this way, what can I get you? Right, well, I'll have the sweet and sour balls. I'll have the Kung Pao chicken. I'll have three portions of noodles. I'll have a little bit of prawn crackers in that. And, I'm going to order this, but I know it's an absolute fucking sham. The crispy seaweed, which I know is actually cabbage. I would probably say, oh, just so you know, I don't care.
Well, but this is why you wouldn't be good front-facing. If we had
listen, thank God Argos didn't think so. I spent two glorious years working their customer service desk.
Yeah, but me and you had a Chinese restaurant together, I would have to turn around literally the first week of business and go, you are going to be running the kitchen, mate, I'm afraid. Because you can't, I will be better with people than you.
Do you know what? I was about to disagree with you, but I think you're probably right. I mean, based on how we are when we're out and about, I would say you're infinitely better with people than I. It's not all my fault, by the way, I would say. I've got resting indifferent face. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I just don't look. You're constantly apologising for me for some reason.
I do find that. Really
ignore his face. He's actually a nice bloke. You're constantly saying that, aren't you? Everywhere we go, even when we're not talking to people, you walk past someone. Sorry about his face.
Sometimes I just want to have my arm around you all the time.
This first email,
yeah,
I'm going to say to you now, once again, shout out to the Swan. for selecting the emails. This first email, I'm going to say, is something that we have had to address for a while, okay?
Right.
And I think we're guilty of this, all right? Now, it slightly bigs us up here, okay? So, I'm not going to apologise for that, but I do think it's appropriate. Okay, here we go. Christ almighty, did it need that much build-up? I don't know. Anyway, this is from the Beluga. Dear Wolf, Owl, Cat and Swan, I hope you're all well. Long-time listener, first-time emailer. I love listening to the pod, but I'm going to have to pick you up on the way you talked about yourselves in the last ep. I'm referring to the part where you're talking about your physical attractiveness and your mates. You are hot. Hot is a state of mind, not beer. You can sell anything as long as you believe it, which is not going to happen if you keep talking about yourselves like you work at a freak show. Forgive me if this sounds patronising, but I know how much you bring up wanting to speak about yourselves in a nicer way, so I thought I'd drop you a message. You two put so much time into self-care and betterment, from your fitness journeys, your fresh threads, your hair care, your work on mental health. That's fucking hot. Wolf, you're a new dad juggling a career and a family and still making hot boy decisions. That's hot. Al, you're super busy bringing up three kids and smashing the comedy world big style. That's hot. What I'm trying to say is that hot is subjective and it's just what you make of it. And you've got a lot to work with. You've both got partners who love you for who you are. Talk about yourselves in a way to make them proud. It's time for hot boy summer. You do you, Kings.
Wow.
What an email.
Wow. Huh? That has made me feel uplifted. That might have got rid of Seaweed Gate.
It's
the state of mind, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm lucky. I have a wife who's always like, I'm lucky. I have parents that sort of like say lovely things, but then none of this is done for effect. It's like I stood on a beach yesterday, thinking, looking around, thinking, yeah, I don't feel particularly positive about myself. Sometimes I feel really great about myself. I dress well. Yeah. I feel nice about myself. I'd be lying if I said
you always look fresh to death, bro.
There's a lot of, you know, the other day when that picture was taken of us when we played, we did the League of Our Own challenge with a group of teenagers, and then they took that picture of me and you. Like my gut is just hanging out the bottom of a really tight Irish shirt. And it's I love the team behind League of Their Own. I can't speak highly enough of them. They're some of the best people I've ever worked on television. I'd say it's up there with the best, most enjoyable shows to make.
They're an amazing team.
The team behind it, I just think they're incredible. I think shout out to Jack. I think shout out to everyone who works on that show. They're genuinely, like, they make it such an amazing thing to be a part of. And it's one of the shows I always wanted to be a part of. I love being on it. But there is a moment where you're like, and I get it, but it's always funny to put me and you in skin tight clothing that we've never.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting bonus points there. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
I can't deny, when I saw me and you on a massive big screen in front of 85,000 people, both of our stomachs hanging out, I'm like, that's what it is. That's a lot we've got. But there's parts of you that just goes, God, it would be nice just to sort of look up and go, God, I don't look at that thinking. Like the first thing I look in front of, like, as someone who's sort of, you know, half Irish, looking up and thinking, oh man, I'm at Croke Park. What an amazing thing if my grandmother a bit and grandfather had been alive to see me here. I look up and go, oh, look at my gut hanging over my shorts.
Yeah. But look, I think, Beluga, thank you for your email. You've actually made me think about this.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah,
Tom, I want you to say that. I want you to repeat after me. Okay. I want you to say this sentence out loud. I want you to say it proud. I am Tom Davis and I am hot.
I've got people who can hear me say that in this house. But
please say it. Please, yeah. Please.
I am Tom Davis, and I am hot.
Yes,
you've got to do the same. You've got to do the same.
Okay. I am Ramesh Ranganathan, and I am hot.
Wowza.
God,
you
God,
actually,
it
you,
great.
There was a sparkle in you.
Feels
you know,
great.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
You know what you look like? You look like a Disney character who just sort of like defeated the sort of like an ice gnome.
You know what's going
to
happen?
Brought
now,
sunshine back to the kingdom.
Beluga's going to regret sending that email because I'm just going to be like every week, just like, oh my God, I'm so hot.
You do that. By the way, honestly, that Arsenal shirt is drippy as, isn't it?
Yeah. This shirt does help.
Yeah.
It's good. It's a good shirt. Helps me look hot.
And you've got a nice natural wave to your hair at the moment as well.
I don't know about my hair at the moment.
I love it. Don't even get me started.
It's very, very temperamental, the old curls. Do you know what I mean? One day you wake up, you're looking fly as anything. The next day you wake up and you look like, well, you don't look good. I can't think of an analogy. Okay. Next email. This is from the Zebra Spider. And the Zebra Spider says, hi, Wolf, Owl and Swan. I'm from the south of England in a little town called Waterlooville. I do know that town. Love the show. I'm usually listening to it at work while tidying the shelves and just suddenly burst out laughing. I can't imagine that's going to happen with this episode. Or at the end of the day, after caring for my one-year-old son. I love your comedy shows. Almost finished first series of King Gary. I think it's great. And Loved Avoidance, proper feel-good comedy. So nice work, lads. I need some ideas for my 30th birthday next year, please. I've had this idea I've been toying with. I love the idea of a holiday cabin in the woods near a lake or river. I'm not a massive partying type, so I just want something low-key. I love the outdoors and generally want to spend some quality time with my wife and son away from all the stresses of life. But I wanted to factor in something that my son would enjoy too, so maybe some outings to the zoo, etc. Hold on. This question is totally unrelated to the... Random question. If you have to watch one movie every day for the rest of your life, what would it be?
I was expecting some sort of really like hitty, knowledgeable thing about like...
Mine would be Footloose. Something about the film makes me uplifted and also love the old school Beatle, Kevin Bacon. So this question, this is an unusual email strategy. Where you couldn't just...
Do you think Lisa's read the first half of this? The Swan has read the first half of this.
I'd love to hear Rob and Tom talk about what they might want to do for their birthday, whether they think this cabin's a great idea, and not read the question at the end of it.
Firstly, I think the cabin's a fantastic idea. And I think your son will have incredible memories. Man, let me just say, by the way, like the beach and all that, what I think one of the most amazing moments of my whole life is just watching Grace go into the sea for the first time. Like, having a little, you know, caffeine dip.
She was
and a
being
little
supervised. All right, okay.
No, she didn't. We didn't roll her down there and just hope for the best.
Oh, gosh, it's beautiful the way she struggles, isn't it?
She'll swim. She'll get the hang of it. No, it was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. Like, an incredible moment. It's just amazing. And I think that's, what an amazing thing that'll be in a log cabin. Any one film to watch every day for the rest of my life? Yeah, you know, it's a really weird... I love Hangover 2.
Hangover 2?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know what? It's easy to pick a film like Goodfellas, The Godfather. Film that...
But who wants to watch that every day?
You've got to think of, like, you've got to put in any factor, any mood that you're in, right? I don't know. The Hangover 2, it always makes me laugh. I think it's just, that, I'd say The Hangover 2, or... Oh, man. Nobody's asked for one, any. So.
Well, look, I would love to pick a comedy, but I just feel like if you're watching a comedy every day for the rest of your life, it would start to...
Well, yours has got to be like Star Wars or something like that, though.
No, it wouldn't be Star Wars. You know what mine would be?
Go on.
What's going on? Sorry. What's going on with your...
No, because I'm leaning back, like if we were on like a film panel show or a film review show.
That's how you lean back on a film panel show, is it?
A film review show, yeah.
Feet up on the table. Like, you fucking just smashed it. Is that just after you've said a joke that's got a round of applause, you just sit back, feet up on the desk, have a little glass of water.
We'll see on Monday.
Mine would be Back to the Future.
Oh, that's a good call. That's a really good call.
When I first watched Back to the Future, I think the Back to the Future trilogy is up there for me. I know people criticise 3, but...
I love 3. It's probably my favourite.
Yeah, I love 3 as well.
We've talked about it before.
Yeah, but the reason I love Back to the Future so much is I love the story and everything. I love Doc Brown. I just love, when I was a kid, watching how cool everybody thought Marty McFly was when he went back to the 1950s. Oh, my God. You know when he pulls the thing off and he turns it into a skateboard and all that? And then his mum's going, oh, my God, he's a dream. Oh, God.
You know the thing about it, right? It's like, it seems such a great... went back and rewatched his Curb Your Enthusiasm episode, which I think is one of the best things. It's amazing. But you think, like... That and Teen Wolf, he was just like so fucking...
Teen Wolf's another example of a film like that where he's just an absolute don in it, right?
Yeah, but also sort of like he manages to be cool but also the underdog at the same time. That's so hard to number one write a character like that, but then portray a character that is like accessible enough for if you're a bit of a nerd or you're a bit of a sort of like outsider, but also if you're a jock, you can kind of go, oh, it could be me as well.
Yeah.
I think that Marty McFly would be the ideal best friend.
I agree.
I just think you just have an incredible life if you're Marty McFly's best friend.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So what a great choice.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I'm almost now just going to probably come around to yours and watch back. If we're in that scenario,
we're talking about every day for the rest of... I don't want to watch Back to the Future with you every day for the rest of my life.
No, but I'll probably watch Hangover like 2 for like a few days and just come around to yours and watch Back to the Future because I know that you're...
Let's do that. Yeah, that's good.
I've got a feeling that I'll be coming around to yours more than you. I think you'll probably watch Hangover 2 like maybe for the first few weeks and
I'll definitely watch Hangover 2. It'll just be at my house if I feel like watching it. Zebra Spider, thank you for that absolute roller coaster of an email.
Wowzers.
Appreciate
and happy
it.
Happy birthday. Okay. Happy 30th. Enjoy it, brother.
Happy 30th, man. Hope it goes wicked. Hope it goes wicked.
And keep doing you, bro. You sound like an amazing human being.
Yeah, you sound like an absolute king. You sound like a hot king. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Okay. Next email is from... please keep my name anonymous. I'd like to start off with the usual stuff that you don't read out. I have actually been reading it out. Because you know, this is... This is Hot Boy Summer. I'd like to start off with the usual stuff that you don't read about, how much I love the podcast and the content that you guys create or are a part of. Murdering Successful is a personal favourite. Rom, I also love the new series. Yeah, I don't know how much you loved it. I haven't even named it. I've got a bit of a dilemma that I would love for you guys to weigh in on. I'm 25 years old. And I've been with my girlfriend for 6 years now. We pretty much went through our entire school life together. So she's been a huge part of my life. Our relationship is great, but sometimes I do wonder what it would like to be single, as I've never really experienced it. I work at a relatively demanding job in banking. I've been fortunate enough to have been offered a position abroad, which presents amazing benefits. This is where the dilemma begins. On the one hand, it's an incredible opportunity, and one I may not have the chance to take up again and live to regret if I turn down. But on the other hand, it would essentially mean leaving my girlfriend here and ending our six-year relationship. It's not possible for her to come, even though there's nothing wrong between us. We do not live together yet. I've moved out on our own, but it's something we've been talking about doing. In my own mind, I'm steering more towards taking the opportunity, but am I a bad person in doing so? I feel like the decision to move would be a huge shock to her, so I'm unsure whether to even speak to her about it before, as I know she would be strongly opposed to the idea. Would love to know what you guys think and what you think I should do. Jesus Christ. This is a tough,
wow,
isn't it?
Wowzer, wowzer. Monsieur Tatrouser. So you've been with us for 6 years, from the age of 19. Yeah.
It's obviously a sticky problem, so doing a stupid little rhyme is the most appropriate thing to do.
I would say, number one, I think speak to her. I think that is a good, honest conversation of, like, you know, where you're at as a person, what's going on, what this chance means to you, you know, what you think your benefits of you doing, you know, and also I think at this point probably having like a quite honest discussion about where your relationship is at. On a person, I remember years and years ago being offered to. When I was first, I've probably been doing stand-up for about 3 years, and then I got offered to go and support someone doing, like, on a tour to Australia or New Zealand. And, like, I was with an ex-girlfriend at the time, and mm-hmm. sort of was like, I really wanted to go. I thought it would have been amazing for my career. And I was really sort of, and also our relationship wasn't in a great, great place. But I sort of, in the end, decided not to go, basically, and just to sort of like try and make the relationship work. And we ended up splitting up about a month and a half afterwards. And then, you know, so it was an amazing, you know, don't things have turned out all right. But I constantly look back at it thinking what an incredible thing that would have been, just as a life experience to have done,
yeah,
that I didn't do. And if probably I'd had that conversation and turned around and said, look, this is how I feel, this is where I'm at, I think probably both of us would have decided to sort of like call time a death around then. But instead what happened was I sort of almost resented the fact that I didn't go and do the thing that I think I wanted to do. And, you know, I didn't probably work as hard as I could have at the relationship. Things have all turned out great. That's life. You know, things are amazing. But I think if I just had that conversation, it probably would have, yeah, it probably would have been a little bit easier. So do it, man. Have the conversation. Don't make any choices till then. But I think, yeah, a face-to-face would be a good thing.
Great advice from Tom. I'm sorry to hear about your relationship, Tom, as well.
No, it's all, I mean, Catherine's in.
Yeah, sure.
You know, yeah, it's all worked out pretty well. I can't.
Yeah, no.
It's both my career and my wife are.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. So,
yeah. I think it's a bit too hot boy there, if you don't mind me saying. But, okay. This is what I think. I do think you need to talk to her. How I feel is, if I, and I know I'm in a different position because I'm in a marriage with three kids, but if I can't imagine an opportunity that I'd even consider that if it would potentially lead to the ending of my relationship. I mean, I just can't visualize how that would happen, and I don't think I would have ever felt like that since the relationship between Lisa and myself got serious. So I guess what I'm saying is, I think the very fact that you're thinking about it and that you're considering the opportunity sort of suggests that maybe it's the right thing to do, I think. Do you know what I mean? Because I feel like if you really wanted to be with this person, regardless of anything, I don't think it would be as much of a dilemma as it is. And look, I don't know how possible it is for her to come or not. You said it's not possible. But I think what Tom said is right, is that you need to talk to her and see what she says and say that you really want to do this thing and then come to a decision together. She won't like it. It will be a huge shock to her. But those aren't reasons to not talk to her about it. In fact, those are reasons more so to talk to her about it. One of the things that people do in life, and I'm guilty of this, and I've wrote a whole show about doing this, which is basically where you see things like this that are difficult and you decide not to do them. You try not, you get scared of doing them and you don't grab the problem by the scruff of the neck. I think you need to have this conversation. I think you need to say exactly what you said in this email to her and see what happens. Because you're obviously seriously considering it and she needs to know that. Do you know what I mean? So, look, it's not going to be easy either way, but I think you need to open up that conversation as soon as you possibly can. That would be my advice to you. I hope that's useful. Good luck. Please let us know how it works out.
Go on, my soldier. Go on, my G.
Okay. Tom, it's about that time. Take us out of this, my oh God. Okay, can you just do the end bit, please?
Yo, people, friends, legions, brothers, sisters, those who accompany us on this journey, I want you to kick back and relax and think about your problems. I want you to think about your problems like you are maybe collecting them, like life is a supermarket. And as you go around, you are getting little bits here and little bits there from different aisles, different problems of different levels of importance. I want you to then imagine that at some point, all those problems come together like you're paying for them at a till. And when someone asks for a carrier bag, you say, nah, I'm all right. I will just carry them in my arms. And what will happen as you slowly walk down the street is you'll struggle. You'll struggle more and more with the load of problems because you'll be trying to hold this bit and some rice will drop on the floor and then some squash will start rolling out of your arms and then you'll sort of struggle and then it'll just all become harder and harder and then eventually you'll probably have to sit down on a sort of small wall or a bench just to sort of like say, I can't get home. I can't carry on like this because the load within my arms, aka the problems, are too much. But if you were to put those problems in a carrier bag, which is almost like a friend that you share those problems with, you find that the journey home would be that little bit easier. What my point is this. Sometimes don't try and be a hero by walking through life carrying too much. Unload. Find in life a carrier bag of a friend who can hold those problems for you just for a little bit until you get them home and you've worked them out. And then you can cook a lovely meal. And actually, the problems that you thought you had were nothing but a great meal or the ingredients for such. God bless you all.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Guys, I hope you heed that advice and hand over that carrier bag to somebody that you care about. And you get the home and you get those groceries out and you make yourself a sumptuous, sumptuous meal. Take care of yourselves. Tom, it's been a pleasure to chat to you. How would you assess this episode?
I have never any idea of these.
No.
JT?
I've got no idea if that was know. A... Yeah, let us know. Good luck, guys. Take care of yourselves. Thanks for listening. Peace out. One love. Goodbye.
Bye, guys.
If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, mainly because we don't have any content ideas. Thank you.